room design is not exactly conducive to interactive discussion, so we apologize for that. But if we could all sort of, you know, kind of stay together in one area so we can have some discussion, that would be great.
Okay, good morning. Can everybody hear me? Great. My name is John Hutchison, and I'm a senior policy advisor to Commissioner Bob Martin. And I'd like to thank you for attending the stakeholder meeting on the Water Quality Management Plan rules. Today I'm joined by Tom McKay, the director of the Division of Land Use Regulation, and Marilyn Lennon, the assistant commissioner for the Land Use Regulation Program, and Kerry Kirkfluke, who will be acting as a facilitator for today's meeting. As you're aware from the agenda and the invitation to this meeting, the department is contemplating the promulgation of amendments to MJAC 7:15 in order to effect three specific changes to the current regulatory regime. First, the department is considering a phased approach for the submission of plan information by requiring the submittal of sewer service area information as a first phase. The first phase would entail submission of sewer service information, and then be followed up by subsequent phases, such as the addressing the septic areas issues. Second, the department is considering a change to the requirement in the current rules that prohibits the receipt and or processing by the department of site-specific amendments where a water quality management plan has expired. Change being contemplated would allow the submittal of site-specific amendments and allow the department to process final agency action after a water quality plan amendment has been issued per the first phase that I cited above. Finally, the third change under consideration by the department is the creation of a new mechanism to ensure compliance with the requirement to keep water quality management plans up to date. As you are all aware, the current planning process was scheduled to have been completed by April of 2009, and it was extended until April of 2011 pursuant to an administrative order of the commissioner. As you're aware, the current regulations provide that the failure to adopt and maintain a plan results in the withdrawal of wastewater service designations for the county in question. The department is seeking stakeholder comment on the creation of a new monitoring and enforcement mechanism that will ensure the plans are up to date, but does not result in potentially adverse environmental and planning impacts that could arise from the non-discretionary and mandatory withdrawal of wastewater service areas. While the implementation of the current water quality management plan rules has elicited a great deal of comment over the past 18 months, I would like to request that everyone remind everyone that the department is not considering widespread amendments to the rules beyond those which I have described. Since fundamental changes to the rules are not being contemplated at this time, I would respectfully request folks engaged in this stakeholder process concentrate their remarks and suggestions on the specific issues that I've raised today. Again, I'd like to thank you all for attending this meeting, and I would like to kick it over to Marilyn Lennon, Assistant Commissioner, for any welcoming remarks that she would like to offer, and then I'll kick it over to Kerry Fluke, who's going to act as our facilitator today. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Actually, you covered a lot of the areas that I was thinking. First of all, I want to thank everybody here, all your familiar faces, for coming. I know that this is stakeholder meetings such as these are above and beyond the call of duty. We have, and I really appreciate your input over the last X amount of months. The meeting today really is resulting from our practical experience of water quality management planning process and the rules in place, and is a result of not only our experiences, but the input of many people in this room right now for consideration of trying to cure what we see as some of the difficulties in trying to advance the process. The water quality management planning rules remain in effect, and we want to keep on moving diligently forward, but at the same time, do this track and see if we can address some of the issues that some of you have raised during this process. I'd rather not hold up the process any further by talking any further. I'd rather hear from you. So I'll pass this to Tom McKay or to Kerry Kirkfluke.
Okay, so good morning, everybody. How are you all today? Good? We're going to be having a nice discussion, hopefully. We have three topic areas that John described for you, and we are interested in hearing from you. But before we have exchange here, I just want to take a moment there. I think there's not a huge number of people in the room, and we can take the time perhaps to introduce each other so that when we have a conversation, we know to whom we're speaking. I'm Carrie Kirk Flew. I work in the Commissioner's Office in Constituent Services.
Fletcher Platt, Principal Engineer of the Rockaway Valley Region 2.
Jim Cosgrove, Environmental.
Bruce Shapiro with the New Jersey Southeastern Builders.
Tim Doyen, I'm the American Literal Society.
Bridget McKenna, State Valley.
Mike Rabinsky, State Valley City Commission.
Dave Wayne-Browski with the New Jersey Finance Commission.
And Brady Prince from New Jersey.
Amy Goldsmith, New Jersey Environmental Commission.
Teresa Levin, Climate Preservation Alliance.
Frank Cortina, Somerset County Planning Board.
Frank Bob Beasley, Somerset County.
Robert Fellow, New Jersey Builders.
Elizabeth Giorginieri, New Jersey Builders.
Mike Rose, Drew Dana, Howard, Cecil.
Sarah Bloom, New Jersey Business and Industry Association.
Peter Kasabak, New Jersey Future.
Barbara Morford, NAOP, New Jersey.
Tony Soriano, Morris County.
Suzanne Des Goldberg, BDP.
Liz Sample, BDP.
Eileen Swan, Highlands Council.
Dennis Toff, Wolf and Sampson.
Rob Friedenberg, Regional Plan Association.
Patrick Shepard, DEP.
McIndrew, DEP.
Christina Heineman, US EPA.
Tony.
Tony Lovico, Birdsall.
Good, Tony.
David Dumont, DEP.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just so that everyone is aware, we are recording the meeting. There will be no written summary of the meeting, but if you're interested in hearing the discussion or sharing with your colleagues and constituents any information that was exchanged here today, you can refer them to the DEP stakeholder website where this will be posted following the meeting. Okay, so with that, let's get started. And again, I don't know, some of you are quieter when you speak, so perhaps what I would ask that you do we have a... Well, or they can just stand up and turn around. We have an extra mic here maybe we can hand off to you if people are having trouble hearing. In fact, I do recall that that the recording device does have great difficulty picking up voices without the mic, so we may actually pass that to you and maybe someone can help. Okay, great. All right. So with that then, John mentioned that the first item that we want to talk to you about is the phasing application information, and that we're considering the phasing the submission of plan information by requiring the submittal of sewer service area information in a first phase. So I'd like to just kind of open up the floor any comments, thoughts, concerns, ideas associated with this suggestion.
And also not to be onerous, because this is being broadcast, recorded. When you speak, if you could just again identify who's
right.
Speaking.
Great, thanks.
I think Tim Dillingham.
I love the full time.
I know you look like you're going to sing.
Feelings.
I'll sing and we can all leave.
Tony and I are going to do it in the next 2 hours. I guess my first comment is on process. I'd like the department to explain to us what your rationale is for consideration of these changes, so that it's very hard for us to react. There's been lots of discussion over the last couple of years about these rules, obviously lawsuits, other assaults on them. The environmental community is very supportive of the rule as it was crafted. We believe it was crafted comprehensively and tied together. So now the department is talking about piecemealing changes to it, without really putting anything on the table to allow us to react to what the logic is or the consequences of that. So I'd like to have the department preface this conversation on these three items as to what your thoughts are as to why you're doing this, other than you've been doing it for the last 2 years.
I'll take a little shot at that in a broad sense. And I guess, what speaks for itself is the fact that we are only close to having one county over the finish line, despite all of the difficulties, or the challenges, or the rising to the challenges of each of the counties have been trying to move these plans forward. I think it's a great success. We've gotten to the public meeting portion and aired right now the sewer service areas. I think that has been a great accomplishment. The problem is with the process itself and the many moving parts associated with it. We still believe in the plan. We're just looking at, can we improve this at all? I mean, the rules are in place. You know, when you look, New Jersey's a pretty much a built environment. So when you have counties that have built areas and you have, you know, sort of infill development, and then you have vast areas, some towns are more incented than the others to engage in the process. You know, these that's the flaw in the process, is that if we were like other states in the union where the counties had a large control over unincorporated areas, but we're all incorporated. So practically speaking, there's some towns that just don't want to engage at all, you know, and what's the hammer going forward? That's a larger discussion, Tim, that I think we need to have, is that, you know, the overall discussion of land use in New Jersey and how we move forward. But these are just three specific areas that we're trying to sort of cure. The septic is of great concern. And I know our representative from the EPA is sitting back there. We met recently, and they want to make sure no matter what, and we want to make sure no matter what, that we start catching failing septic systems, the septic standards, and things of that nature. And that's why we're looking in the first area, sort of phasing it out and bringing this out. In other areas, you know, with the site-specific amendment, you know, it goes both ways. We have areas out there that are remain in the sewer service area today that are out of the sewer service area tomorrow once, you know, the county adopts. And, you know, when we talk about site-specific amendments, there are many good projects out there that are not in the sewer service area because of mapping errors, you know, but we can't do anything about that. So this is not a wholesale opening of the process. We're looking and trying to come up with common sense, practical solution that allows for the best protection of the environment and also allows for some cure where there is obviously situations where a site is going to be sewered if it's going to be developed, then go on septic.
Okay, so just in response to that, I mean, why doesn't the department lay out those issues that they perceive? You laid out three parts. You laid out the idea that you have municipalities which are not engaging, that you don't believe that the county structure has adequate authority to serve as the planning entity for the issue, for the infrastructure questions. You talk about the need to capture failed septic system areas through the planning process. The rationale behind, and I don't know that I would agree necessarily, that separating the delineation of sewer service areas and whatever measures might be appropriate in the groundwater discharge areas is the right way to go at it. But this process doesn't lay those perceived problems out in a long way that allows us to react to them. So,
what do you mean, the stakeholder process today?
Right. Well, you gave us three sort of very broad paragraphs that preceded this and then, you know, asked for reaction. So.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, we're not trying to prejudge, and we're just engaged. That's why we're reaching out to stakeholders, because we have the situation in our hands right now, and the reality is we're looking for input to see if we could cure these problems in any way. Maybe not. You know, maybe everything just keeps on proceeding like it is, and that's exactly why we're trying to engage in this conversation, to be informed by you.
Others? Any comments? So with that, you know, Marilyn kind of laid out the program's thoughts. Tim offered some suggestions. Anyone else?
Fletcher Platt, maybe a question. How much do you think the change of staging the septic system areas will speed up the approval process for the sewer service area wastewater management?
I'm going to pass this one over to either Tom or John. Or Liz.
There we go. Sorry. Morning.
we can't quantify how many minutes, hours, or whatever it's going to take in terms of making the process more efficient, but intuitively it will make it more quicker and expedient. I can't give you a precise answer. Is it a month better? Is it 6 months better? We're thinking substantially better because the analysis that goes along with the septic review is extensive, and if you push that back to another phase, it can propel the first phase much quicker.
Thank you. Jim Cosgrove. I think I like your suggestion, but I just have a couple of questions. I like the idea of phasing it because you start to see progress, and I think it's good for everybody to see progress. And you avoid some of the problems that we have with sewer service area that everyone agrees might not be right, but you don't have a plan adopted to get the right service area in. So I think I like it. What I don't understand, though, is, are you talking only mapping? In other words, is the end product a sewer service area map? Or are you also including in this the build-out flow projections and those types of things for that sewer service area?
Who wants to take that? Tom?
Tom looks like he's dying.
Before Tom starts, okay, we don't have a proposal on the table. Okay, this is not a public hearing associated with a specific rule proposal. So what I would rather... here instead of our thoughts, what your thoughts are. If you have a suggestion for how we can deal with it, because I don't think we are even there in terms of thinking about how, you know, these are our issues, and that we're just laying it back out to the community. You've been all specifically invited. We're looking for your input. Some of you may come and say, there's no problem with the way things are going right now. So the question is, What do you think?
I guess one of my concerns is if we kept it as a map-only exercise, that you could get a surprise with respect to flows when you got to that stage. So you could end up with a map that when you predict out the future flows, you say, oh, I didn't realize I was going to get so much flow from this area. And then you may be in a position where you're going back and looking at the map. So that would be my concern with only doing a mapping exercise without the flows that are associated with it.
So your recommendation then would be to have both as part of that process?
I think so.
Is there anything else, Jim, that in your experience that should be included in that first phase process besides flow and map that we should be considering?
Well, I have an issue with flow, but I'm trying to stay on your topics.
Okay. Well,
let's stay on topic. There's a lot of people here. We have this room for about 2 hours. So,
go ahead.
Fletcher, constraints analysis could lead to reduction of sewer service areas and pushing it back into septic areas, or perhaps the other way around. So consideration of constraints, including available water supply, I think needs to be considered as well.
Okay, great. Other thoughts? Heather?
Push the bottom button.
Okay, thanks. So I'm Heather Saffert with Clean Ocean Action. My concerns about the phased approach are based on the reviewing Monmouth County's wastewater management plan that was kind of presented in a phased approach similar to what's being presented today. And I'm concerned that a number of the requirements like flow, which are required by the rules, have not been included and are not being clearly required formally by DEP. Also, the second phase, there wasn't any deadline, you know, for submission of the septic phase. Other concerns, you know, basic requirements, you know, the public notice said the riparian corridor analysis, you know, was done. However, you read the management plan, and only two towns have actually adopted ordinances. There's just also, you know, a lot of information that would be useful to have in these wastewater plans that isn't presented you know, existing sewer and alternative treatment areas, so we know what presently exists versus what's being proposed as changes, and what the total new sewer and alternative systems are. And, you know, it's important, again, for looking at our overall capacity issues at wastewater plants, and, you know, to make sure we're promoting beneficial reuse of water, and looking at our not only our water supplies, but also, you know, the effect of removing groundwater on our coastal water systems. And we were also concerned that the Monmouth County plan, used a 2002 build-out analysis, and it didn't necessarily conform with the capacities at all locations.
Okay. Yeah, there was someone. I saw a hand behind you.
Okay. Hi, Myra Becker, Middlesex County Department of Planning. I and the people from my office who are here, you know, we've talked about this at great length. Our wastewater management plan is fairly far along. I mean, we've met with NJDEP just on Monday, and we're just filling in certain sections, but, you know, basically, you know, it provides in our document an overview of all the regulations. It bottom lines where the future sewer service area should be against the existing. It does the flow analysis. We're tweaking our build out as we speak. We've invested a tremendous amount of time in public outreach. The 18 or to 20 of our towns have adopted their steep slope and riparian ordinances, and the others are working on them. We even put together a septic management plan for the county. So building on what our county Department of Health already had in place. And from my perspective as a planner, you know, I am, my professional opinion is that if you feel that you have to break the sewer service area away from the septic area for a lot of different reasons, you know, make it a disjointed submission, you know, don't force that model onto all the counties. Keep it flexible. Let us submit the whole document. I'm concerned of a precedent where, you know, I go around my county advocating comprehensive planning. I tell our towns we all have to work together. You know, your boundaries don't end at your town, but they do because of home rule. And this is just going to feed that perception that comprehensive planning doesn't matter. We're just taking one piece of the wastewater management plan and submitting that, and maybe if we can overcome the political hurdles, one day you'll see our septic area piece. And, you know, that's just bad public policy. And, you know, people, you know, right now state planning has come to a halt. You know, there's nothing going on right now. And we're all, you know, anticipating getting a directive from the OPA office, you know, stating that we're going to be moving in the direction of an economic development plan for this state. Again, not so comprehensive as many of the state planners would like, and county planners and municipal planners. So, you know, my office is vehemently against, our directors vehemently against, you know, amending the rules so that we have to submit just one part of our plan, like 25% of our plan, leave the 75% in our office, and maybe one day submit the rest. And I don't know if anyone else from my staff wants to say anything.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is if you, Middlesex is on track and you've got it in hand, and what you want from the department is don't preclude us from getting over the finish line by virtue, if you do separate sewer service areas from the other portions of the plan, that the the submittal don't stop us because we're on track.
Right, and that they feed each
sure.
other. They
yes.
feed off each
right.
other. And that we'll push back. You know, we really will. If we have to be forced into the position of only submitting 25% of our plan.
Thank you.
Other comments? Yes. Tom, over here.
Bob Ezek, Sumpson County Planning Director. Like my colleague from Middlesex, we've also have invested a significant amount of time and resources over the last 3 years. And we've worked very, very closely with our municipalities. We're moving the ball down the field. We just completed build-out analysis for one-third of the county, the SRVSA service area. And I agree with Mr. Cosgrove that I think it's important to be able to reach important milestones. And if this phasing allows us to at least put to rest the sewer portion of the county, I think that would be significant. It creates much greater certainty with the investment community. It allows municipalities to move ahead with their own comprehensive planning because they know where the sewer service areas lie. It allows important redevelopment projects in our county to advance. But I also agree that it shouldn't be a mandatory approach because each county is different in terms of its staging. I think we need a little more discussion about, you know, which components it actually entails because I do believe it should include the sewer service boundary and the build-out analysis and allow for any solutions in terms of anti-dig or infiltration work. And so that's part of the submission. I'm a little on the fence right now on whether or not the required ordinances should be part of that because in our opinion, many of those ordinances are redundant in terms of existing state regs that are already in place. And if that's the last piece that's preventing us from adoption of the plan, I think we should give some thought to whether or not that can be delayed until the second phase. I would like to clarify, though, whether or not we're talking about a phase submission or a phased adoption of the plan. It's not clear from the blurb that we saw how the department is leaning. So maybe if you could clarify that, I appreciate it. Before that, maybe I think Lorette has a couple comments.
I just wanted to mention how we have put great effort into updating all of our data. So our base data is much more current than 2002, even though the data layers that we started with were 2002. We reconciled everything against current information about the status of development projects, and we used the 2010 aerial photography to update vacant, potentially developable land. We didn't run build out based on the original material that we got. And the point is, the data is very time sensitive. The results of the analysis is so time sensitive that it really makes sense to us to split it into addressing all aspects of the plan relative to sanitary sewer service and treatment plant capacity while the data is fresh. And I think that's going to improve the quality of the result, and it's going to make it much more, we'll have a much higher confidence level in the plan. And it is really an issue of resources. Some counties do have more resources to put towards this task, and you know, counties that don't, you know, it's not that they, it's just life. And having the optional, you know, all at once if you can, but in phases if you have to, makes a lot of sense to us.
Thank you. Others? Okay.
Good
Tony Soriano, Morris County. I don't want to be redundant, but the county contingent seems to be speaking right now. I agree with what Myra is saying. I don't believe counties should be forced to bifurcate if they are that far along and they can move forward. But we put a lot of work into this, as Somerset County and the other counties have done. It's a lot more work, I think, than anyone anticipated when the rules were written. A lot more issues have come up. We believe that time is moving, as Loretta said. And if, as we work through the septic issues and going on, more and more time may come up, more and more issues may come up. Data will become older and older. If we can move forward with part one, with an assurance that we're going to move forward with part two, that would seem to be a rational way to move forward on this. So, excuse me, without getting into a lot of detail, I just want to reiterate that support.
Other comments? Other thoughts? Anyone else? Any non-county people want to make a comment?
Yeah, Mike Gross. I think everybody is avoiding the elephant in the room, which is the reason I think the DEP is proposing to bifurcate, and I agree it should be on a voluntary basis, the septic from the sewer service area, is because the counties have come back to DEP and said the septic rules are unworkable. They're unworkable from a technical perspective, and they're unworkable from a political perspective. And you can't just kick this can down the road and say, okay, we'll bifurcate the process. I think you have to look at those septic rules within the wastewater management planning rules and determine what is a reasonable revision of those rules, because clearly the existing framework does not work.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else? Yes, Amy.
Thank you. Amy Goldsmith, New Jersey Environmental Federation. We and the larger environmental community supported the rules back when they were finally adopted after, 20, 30, 40 years of waiting. My organization and others believed that it was done with the intention of comprehensive planning, not piecemeal planning. Because counties aren't, some are stellar and doing great work and others are not, doesn't mean that we should then dumb down or make easy for counties that don't do the right thing. And part of it is because the counties that are doing the right thing is because they're forward thinking, or at least some of them have resources or they put systems in place. The people who don't tend to do them are because they don't want to do them, because they don't ever want to be held to doing the rules as they should be done, and they want to build and go crazy. And other places realize that they have to do something in order to have a kind of quality of life and the water available to do the things that they need to do. So we shouldn't be rewarding the counties that don't do the right thing. And we should, if we want to have a comprehensive plan environmentally, with carrying capacity, with an economic strategy, then you need all the pieces in place at the same time. And we should be using the most current data, not old data. And we should be having comprehensive plans. And if there's something wrong with the septic rule, which we actually, it's nothing's ever perfect, nothing will ever be perfect, but sometime or other you have to get going. And so we have a lot of concerns about bifurcating and phasing, because we don't think we'll ever get to the second phase as we've waited all these years just to get to the rule. And the other is that we have concerns, and I guess we'll get to part two or whatever, or three, issues around, multi-county interactions and multi-town interactions, and whether, the HUC numbers are too big or too small. We have concerns also about that, about changing that, so making it more politically difficult to get to environmental solutions and carrying capacity solutions. So we support comprehensive policies. We support keeping those environmentally sensitive areas protected and identified using the best data available. And for the people who are not doing what they should be doing, we shouldn't be relaxing the process and the policies and letting them off the hook. we should figure out how to get them to actually do what they're supposed to be doing, since they're probably the ones who are most likely wanting to build like crazy. And given the economy is not doing well right now, this is our breathing room, actually, to do it right. So when the economy does come back, we're poised and ready to be building in the right places and not building in the wrong places.
Thank you. John Rigby.
Edwin Grosky from Pinelands. I just want to pick up on that notion of comprehensive planning. It doesn't seem to us at the Pinelands Commission that the rule addressed well regional planning entities. And I just wanted, for the record, note that the Pinelands Commission back in 1979 established regional planning that dealt with sewer service areas, septic system service areas, and it's our view that the DEP could relieve itself of 1 million acres in South Jersey and essentially rely on that comprehensive management plan that's in place, that's federally approved, that continues to evolve, because it's our view that our management areas that identify sewer service areas as our designated growth areas achieve the objectives of what DEP is looking to do, and the environmentally sensitive areas in which we exclude sewer service are protected through our rules. One last thing before we leave the septic systems, and I did want to say that we concur that there's probably no reason why the DEP shouldn't phase these rules optionally, but certainly for those entities that are so far along in the process, they shouldn't be held up. But I did want to, before I turn over the microphone, mention that the Commission has been engaged for 8 years now in a study of alternative advanced design wastewater treatment systems. We've identified some that work in stellar fashion. We think that it's very important that the Commission look at those nitrogen-reducing technologies and fold them into the wastewater management planning process when you start to look at septic systems within watersheds.
Thank you. Hands up over there.
Thank you. I'm Eileen Swan from the Highlands. I think it was important to follow my friend from the Pinelands and support what he said in terms of the regional planning entities. The Highlands Council, as most people in the room would know, half of the area roughly has voluntary compliance with the regional master plan. At this stage, we have 60 petitions from the 88 municipalities. Two-thirds of those now, at this point in time, are for their entire municipalities. And the trend we're finding is that municipalities that originally were only working with us for the areas that were mandatory are now changing their petitions for their entire municipalities. We also have 9 planning area only municipalities, including places like Phillipsburg and Hackettstown, that are working with us. We are doing the wastewater management plans for our towns that are conforming 100%. We have a model that we've worked with the DEP to establish, and we're doing it on a basis of a carrying capacity analysis. We take everything into consideration. It is working. We're working very closely with our municipalities. This is comprehensive planning. It will do what it needs to do to protect the region, and more importantly, perhaps, it will protect the water resources for the state. So what I'd like to say here today is help us to keep doing what we're doing in the Highlands region. And as the Pinelands just spoke, that gets two areas done completely with comprehensive planning that looks at the septic side as well as the sewer side. So help us to keep the success. One last thing, our first municipality has gone through the county approval, that's Byron Township in Sussex County, and has now been sent by the freeholders to the department for approval. So that gets the ball rolling. It's followed now by Washington Township, Morris County. All the towns we're working on in the RVRSA that are working through us. And we look at every single piece of the puzzle. So it is possible. Help us to continue. Thank you.
There was a hand up in front of you.
Yes, Elizabeth Georgianier with the New Jersey Builders Association. What is the time frame that you have in mind for proposing these rules? And given that the state strategic plan is also expected out, how would DEP fall in line with that strategic plan? We also encourage you to look at the septic standards, especially given that the septic standards are unworkable from our experiences, and how will you tie in what Monmouth County has decided to do in terms of their approach, that 6 or more have to be submitted to DEP?
Someone have an answer? timeline, I believe, and then there were two broad questions there. One was the timeline, and the other was
the time.
What are we doing about
the system? I'm trying to get the question there.
Okay.
Yeah, the tie-in with the state strategic plan that's expected out by the end of the year, is DEP going to tie in with that strategic plan and looking at these rules?
I'll try to answer both. Timeline, well, again, since there's been no decision as to what we're doing, there's not necessarily a time frame as to what we're going to do and when we're going to do it by. So a lot depends on what we learn today and what we learn moving forward. As far as the state strategic plan is concerned, I think ultimately, you know, we need to talk about how the two integrate, but it's probably a little bit too premature at this point. Today we're focused on the issues here today, and we can talk later on about state strategic plan and work life planning and how the two integrate together.
Was there a second half to that question? Did you get it answered?
Monmouth County.
What was?
Since the LSE.
Over 2,000 gallons per day has to be reviewed by
both.
We can't hear you.
Just to clarify the last speaker's question, it involves Nick Tafara from Middlesex County. It involves the six units or more than 2,000 gallon per day projected flow that those projects have to be reviewed by DEP staff. And it would be a mandatory requirement in what's now being called the restricted septic areas, basically in areas where zoning densities don't meet the nitrate dilution capacity, carrying capacity. Rather than change zoning, they would be allowed to use that restricted septic area in that location so that there is drilled down site-by-site review.
Okay. Any response?
I don't see the question is, this is really meant to solicit your comments and your opinions regarding, you know, the three particular areas. I'd rather not open this up into a broader discussion. So if you have a particular opinion regarding the subject matter, we'd like to hear your opinion.
I think rather Jennifer and then Tony.
Great, thank you. Jennifer Coffey from the Stony Brook Millstone Watershed Association. With regard to phasing in, and specifically with the septic systems, I think any plan that would talk about phasing in that goes beyond this calendar year, which we're really only talking about 4 or 5 more months at this point in time, would be of great concern to my organization. Just to echo Amy's comments, these rules were adopted 3 years ago now, 3+ years ago, and we worked on them for about 2 years before that, and these rules are a good compromise. When Lisa Jackson was a commissioner at the DEP, we worked on these rules for about 18 months, all the people in this room, and I think there were more of us. And so revisions of standards or kicking the can further down the road to allow for counties that just are not doing what they need to be doing is a great concern. And there are counties that are just not doing this and that have said, and they're not in this room today. They've said, until the DEP sits on us and tells us we have to do this or there are penalties, we're not going to do it. And townships have said, we're not going to adopt ordinances until we're told we have to do it. And we want the DEP to tell us we have to do it. So further moving these deadlines and revising criteria, to me, seems to be dismantling the rule and is a real problem for clean water and for the residents here in New Jersey and for businesses. So I would urge the DEP to look at what you've got on the books, see them as a real compromise, see them as an improvement over the old 30-year-old rules, and to continue to push for implementation of the rules.
Thank you, Jennifer. Tony, I think you had.
Since you asked for my opinion on the first question, and I guess I'll deal with all three, I look at the situation as these rules are a dam, and it's got some little leaks in it, and you're trying to plug these holes, and either you're going to the department has to decide whether the dam has a solid foundation, and they don't need to plug the holes. It's got a solid foundation, and these holes can be plugged, no big deal. Or this foundation is failing or has failed, and plugging the holes ain't going to make a difference. So my opinion would be is you got to decide, are the rules okay the way they are, and you just move forward, or are there problems with the rules, and you got to step back and look at the whole thing. Putting your finger in these little holes, I don't think it's going to do anything.
Any other comments? Yes. I think after this, we'll move on to the next topic so that we can keep on time and hear from you on each of the three elements.
Okay, this is Rutford and Rick from Regional Plan Association. I just want to say, kind of as a practical matter in terms of phasing, if that is the route you choose to go, I think a lot of the concern around the room is that everything, the focus is on phase one and getting that done. I think we need to be reminded that phase one is not the end, that phase two is the next step, and you need to be clear that maybe a clock starts ticking after, you know, phase one has been completed, that you know, the solution isn't getting phase one in, it's making sure that you do get phase two as well, and being very clear about the direction you take in pointing out how it's going to happen. So I don't know if that would, you know, allay the concerns of those in the room who are concerned about, you know, bifurcating it, but, you know, if you're clear about where you're going with phase two as well, I think that's going to help.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. One more.
Okay,
that's okay.
Just Nick Tafara, Middlesex County Planning Department. Just to relate the comments made by the New Jersey Home Builders Association to this specific topic, not so much of phasing, but of revision of the regulation. Even more than phasing, I think that the state has to look at where the existing rule is silent in terms of the protocols for analysis, and where guidance has gone, let's say, taken it to the next step or brought the bar up on how the counties are to approach the different build-out analysis and the NDA capacity calculations. Because those things right now, there is talk in the regulation, but not the detail. And when the detail is silent, we are in an area of risk as to whether or not what we're doing is acceptable. And I think that's really an important topic. If there's any changes, that those areas be addressed.
Thank you. Any other kind of broad statements before we move on to the next topic area? Yes.
I would just add that, you know, to follow up with RPA, my concern is that, you know, deadlines have been put out there for when we need to submit the draft wastewater management plans, and no one met them, and people ignored them. Counties completely ignored the April deadline in many cases, and I don't know how, you know, that it just, the deadline came and went from July last year, and then it was extended to April of this year, and it just came and went. So I don't think that if you flesh out what your expectations are for the second submission that will hone in on septic areas, it will make a difference whatsoever. I just don't know how you can get the counties to step up. I think it's a difficult, you gave a lot of money, a lot of grant money to the counties. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they doing with that money? I don't know. It's a hard question to answer.
Thank you. One more?
Can I just?
Sure.
Oh. Amy and then.
Okay.
The back.
Sorry.
You know, wasn't the original plan was to remove sewer service? I mean, we have in the past had sewer moratoriums and other things that have forced counties to do what they were supposed to do. I mean, if my child, you know, abuses the privilege of using his, you know, iTouch, I take it away. And I've had my son without his iTouch for a year. So, you know, like, there is an ability to remove things. There is an ability, and we've done it in the past in order to get people to either step up to the plate, get their act together, or do no more harm. And I think we and this department and the state has a responsibility to do no more harm and to, in fact, improve the quality of our water and the resources that sustain the environment and the economy.
Thank you.
I just wanted to, this is Lorette Cortina from the Somerset County Planning Board. I wanted to point out the process. For the past 3 years, the focus by DEP staff as well as counties has been to get to a point where there was a DEP accepted sewer service area boundary. And there was an interim review process that was very arduous. It was parcel based decisions, site by site by site. There was an enormous amount of documentation that had to be compiled in analyzing whether or not individual parcels should be put back in or should stay out. And this process was not, it wasn't a county determined process. It was, and none of the counties anticipated this when we signed on to assume the role of being the wastewater entity. But we accepted it and we worked as best as we could on this process in partnership with our municipalities and DEP and property owners and other stakeholders, development community included. And so what is appearing to be that counties are not cooperating and that we're not stepping up to the plate really is not true. There's a lot of issues having to do with the process that took place over 3 years as to why we aren't done yet.
Okay, thank you. And that's probably a good segue into the number two category, which is site-specific amendments. We're considering changing that requirement to allow the receipt and processing of those amendments as you're working on your overall plan. And so we're looking at a process for that and your input as to, first of all, how you feel about that and what you might suggest. Anyone?
Thank you, Dennis Toft. I think you need to have a process for site-specific amendments because right now there's no way for an easy way for a property owner to understand if they're in, they're out, whether they can go ahead with the project or not. So you need to have a process, but that process has to be one which recognizes that you can't use it as a surrogate for other permitting requirements. So you can't, if there's a wetlands permit required, let the wetlands people determine whether to issue that permit. Don't do it through the site-specific amendment process. It also has to be a process that's fast, that's easy, that doesn't go on for 2 or 3 years, as some site-specific amendments have. People need to get either a yes or no relatively quickly. So if someone comes in and says, hey, there's a mistake, I was left out, you didn't consider the approvals I had in place, you had the wrong data on my property, there needs to be a way for that to be corrected, but it has to be one that's efficient and quick. It doesn't take years for it to happen.
Yes.
You know, this is a complicated question, but you know, I have concerns.
Why would you want to just identify yourself as recorded?
Myra Becker, Middlesex County Department of Planning. My concern to saying that counties can review revisions, amendments for projects prior to adoption of an updated or new wastewater management plan is that it could make it so that that counties never adopt a wastewater management plan because, you know, you would be then saying you can have development in your county. We're not going to roll back anything in terms, there'll be no moratorium as a stick, and in fact you can review projects and you can work on your plan forever, and you know, in 20 years they'll, you know, I could just see it going on and on and on. Plus when you set up this process, because we have it in Middlesex, because we had a plan from 2001 and we have a process in place for the review of revisions and amendments. The process is bureaucratic, and we're going to probably streamline it a bit, but, you know, there's forms that need to be filled out, money's exchanged, people on my staff review these projects. You have to interface with Land Development Division within my department, the Department of Planning. Then it goes to the Water Resources Association. Then it goes to the Planning Board. And if it's an amendment, it goes to the freeholders. So staff time is called in to question here. So it's nice that that process was shut down so that staff could focus on the development of our updated wastewater management plan. So I see some, like, it sounds good, and I think it makes sense, but you have to be very clear that it can only go on for a year. Or it could just be another way, a loophole, to make it so that these, you know, more politicized parts of the plan that will hold up the plan indefinitely never get addressed.
Thank you. I think over here, could put your hands up high so I can see who. All right. So let's start with Mike and then Jennifer. And there was a hand back there, I think. Okay.
Mike Gross, I'd just like to clarify the question. As I understand the question, it's premised on a positive response to question, the first question, whether the phasing, the phase plans can be submitted so only the sewer part of it is submitted. As I understand the second question, if the answer to that is yes, then the question is when that is approved, that sewer plan is approved, amendments can be accepted at that, amendment requests can be accepted at that time prior to the entire plan, including the septic, being approved. That's my understanding of the question. So let's understand that question first. My response is, we think that because, well, a couple things. Because there's no time frame for DEP to review and approve that WQMP plan, whether it be a comprehensive plan or a sewer-only plan, that upon submission of that plan, amendments should be accepted. And the reason for that is, if the department's position is that property owners whose property is removed from the sewer service area do not have to be given notice, then those property owners who are not given notice and may not be aware of this process should have the right to request an amendment to the plan after the first phase is submitted or after a comprehensive plan is submitted.
Jennifer?
I admit I'm still wrangling with the question here, and I thought we were talking about, and maybe you could correct me, amendments to the sewer service area or the wastewater management plan prior to the adoption of a new plan. Is that correct?
That's not
what we're talking about.
That's not what this
is. No, right.
Trying to understand it.
Okay, though, I think we could clarify what the site-specific amendment. Right now, site-specific amendments are not permitted within, unless your sewer service, the water quality management plan is adopted in place. And Ray and John can correct me if I am wrong, but the discussion is, can we have the ability to entertain now, regardless of, because we don't even have an adopted county, we're close to the moment, a site-specific amendment.
Okay.
Because we have situations where there is no obvious criteria for the exclusion of the sewer service areas, mostly in areas where a sewer service area is not currently available. And when it was put in place 30 years ago and there's a pipe, you know, a couple of feet down the street, and that it would make more sense for a site that would be developed one way or the other to be on a sewer pipe rather than have septic. You know, that's primarily what we see. We don't have a mechanism in place to allow that right now. Ray, you want to have any addition to that, or?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I just want to clarify, that's not what this says. I mean, what this says is site-specific amendments after the sewer areas.
Pete Cassaback, New Jersey Future. I was actually saving my comments later. But this is important to clarify this issue.
Oh, the first phase.
Right. My understanding is that we're saying, assuming the first phase happens and counties have sewer service areas delineated, and they've gone through whatever level of detail to get to that point, at that point, there could be site-specific amendments.
Every county right now has delineated a proposed sewer service area. Every county that's actively you know, so we went to public meeting on every single county to date, so that we do have areas that have been proposed in each of the counties.
Maybe my understanding then is that it's not a proposal, it's that once they've been approved, that step one actually says there's an approval process that's being inserted here, which is you've done your sewer areas and everybody agrees these are the sewer boundaries. Once that step has taken place, which has not taken place in any county yet, at that point there could be site-specific amendments. That's my understanding of it.
Let John Hutchinson, do you have any clarification there?
I think Peter has a fair characterization of what was in the invitation and the agenda. So I think if the discussion flows from that, I think we'll be a little more on target.
All right, I'm going to try to pull my thoughts together. My understanding is that in the rules, 3.4, there are amendment procedures. So for corrections of data or changes in the natural environment or adoptions of planning initiatives, so there are amendment procedures once you have an adopted wastewater management plan.
That's correct.
So that's why I was thinking in terms of, and I think, Marilyn, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we were talking about amendments prior to having the newly adopted wastewater management plans, and I understand they're in the process, and we've gone to public hearings, but we haven't had the public comments, and they're not final yet. And that's where I'd like to echo what Myra said, and I think that could be an incentive for counties to continue, again, to overuse the phrase, to kick the can down the road, and to just not have a final plan, to drag their feet on it, and that's more work for the DEP to then come down and chase after these counties. I think it speaks to the need to finish these plans as soon as possible, and I think that site-specific amendments got us in a lot of trouble in the past 30, 40 years and led to a lot of sprawl. And so I would encourage the DEP to finalize the plans, not worry so much about the site-specific amendments, and then worry about implementing those plans and complying with those plans and looking at if there are true errors in data, changes in the environment, new planning initiatives adopt, CMDLs adopted that are outlined in 3.4, to look at site-specific amendments according to those procedures.
I think there was a hand over here. Yeah, go ahead.
Tony Soriano, Morris County Planning Board again. If we're talking about site-specific amendments after the adoption of phase one, should phase one occur, that's a different matter. But depending on what the question actually meant, we're waiting for the completion of the public comment phase in terms of DEP's response to the public comments. After that, we have to rerun build out. And after that, we have to stop taking changes at a certain point. Otherwise, we continually have to rerun build out, and that phase never gets completed. And that's a procedural reality. The DEP has to log in what we submit to them, whether it's phase one or a full phase. And then it becomes a question of time. If the DEP approves these plans in a timely manner, we can move forward in an orderly process. But if 6 months goes by or longer and these plans are not being approved, then we would have to entertain changes to the plan because things keep moving whether or not the review actually happens. So just there has to be some cutoff. We think that it should be something decided by the DEP and the county, and so that we can just move this process forward, because without setting some deadlines, things will not progress. We'll have to keep changing, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
Jim, you had your hand up.
Jim Cosgrove, Omni Environmental. I want to take off my environmental consultant hat and put on a property owner and business owner hat for a second. My feeling is, and I totally get why the county is concerned about site-specific amendments. It makes their life more difficult. But my feeling is you can't hold people hostage any longer. So you either need to find a way to finish these WIMPs and get them adopted fast, or you have to provide a mechanism for landowners to process a site-specific amendment if they want to do something on their property. It's just not fair to tell someone, sorry, we won't process a WIP amendment. You can't do the project that you want, and it might be 3 or 4 years before we can entertain your amendment, or it gets adopted in the WIP. It's just not fair. So we have to provide a mechanism. Maybe that mechanism is to get these things done fast, but getting these things done fast is not likely from what I've seen so far. It's a lot of work that goes into this.
Edwin Grasky from Pinelands. The commission wouldn't be opposed to site-specific amendments, certainly as long as they're consistent with our CMP. But I just want to raise an issue that we faced very recently. It's our understanding that the water quality management plans have expired, indeed, throughout the Pinelands region, because none of those plans are complete. Jim talked about landowners being held hostage. We had an instance very recently where one of our municipal utilities authorities averted a near disaster of losing $4 million of federal stimulus money to upgrade a sewage treatment plant where the plant was going to increase its flow. The plant was going to serve areas within the Pinelands that are designated for sewer service. The DEP and the Pinelands Commission twisted ourselves in knots to see that we could allow that application to move forward, not run the risk of losing $4 million to bring a state-of-the-art sewage treatment plant to a Pinelands community that desperately needs it. So, you know, our concern is that there are unintended consequences with stopping applicants dead in their tracks, and that there indeed needs to be a release or a mechanism so that you can move some of these projects, because whatever we do to expeditiously move the process, it's not going to be fast enough when situations like this one emerge.
Thank you. Were there other hands up? Other thoughts? None? Yes.
I think it's important, and everybody's already noted that, Nick Tafaro from Middlesex County Planning, but we've noted that actually number one and number two are uniquely interrelated. And apparently we are talking, we just discussed number one and said that that might be an option for counties rather than mandated for counties. We also talked about how so many counties do have at least a preliminary sewer service area mapped. The administrative order, I think it was number three, called for public meetings, which really were specifically to discuss just those sewer service area mappings, or at least those were what were presented to the public at that time in most of the public meetings that were held, not the public hearings, but the public meetings. And I'm concerned that what we're saying now is that someone will optionally approve a sewer service area under this proposed regulation number one, and then quite honestly that county has an unfair advantage in terms of economic growth in that now they can make these site-specific amendments become a reality to related to other counties who have decided they don't want to take that option. So I think one thing to be said is that if you're going to agree to item number two, it almost becomes natural that item number one is actually mandated for all counties. The other point I'd like to bring up is that within significant actions, that is now part of the development process for the WQMP, we have accepted requests from all entities who come to us on revisions based on private property owners' plans and private property owners' intentions on their properties. And I would hesitate, although I will risk saying that that process actually has been a faster process than approval of a site-specific amendment, especially because we simply don't have to wait for meeting dates, we don't have to wait for applications, we don't have to wait for fees. We bring them in as soon as we can, we discuss the site, we get the information on wetlands and other issues from them if they have it updated, and we're able to satisfy their requests within the intent of the act to preserve environmentally constrained areas. That's really what this is all about. So there is a lot already there that addresses the private property owner. The issue of his knowledge of that, of his own site and its situation in terms of septic or sewer, is one that is up in the air a bit, but we've had many private developers come to us and private property owners come to us on this issue, and perhaps Somerset County can tell us a little more about that, because they did do notice to all property owners, and if that had an additional impact or not.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, there was
on B6 Somerset County. We're in favor of this proposed change. Primarily because we did individual property notification of any change regarding the sewer service area, either in part or whole. So we already have engaged the building community, the property owners regarding their plans, and allowed them to submit proper environmental documentation, which was forwarded to the department to review, and that was wrapped into the plan. Again, I think that once the department approves a plan, whether it's bifurcated or in whole, it only makes sense to allow for individual amendments to move ahead after that point, provided that there are no environmental constraints involved, the site in question is consistent with local zoning and other parts of the rule. So it's just common sense to allow this to happen, again, once the plan or a portion of the plan is in place.
Myra Becker. The aspect of this that throws me, though, is, I didn't necessarily see the connection between one and two, that you have to have phasing be approved for two. With doing site-specific amendments, it's the amendments and revisions are regarding the line, the sewer service area line. So you're going to get people coming in who are in septic areas who want to go into the sewer service area. You need the plan. You need the comprehensive plan in place. You need to have done that analysis. I don't understand how you can open up your whole county to coming in for revisions and amendments on a site-specific basis without having the whole plan in place.
I'm not a huge fan of hypotheticals, but maybe it might be helpful in this case. Let's for the moment, in a county where the preliminary sewer service area mapping has been done.
Phase one,
which I guess would be phase one if this contemplated new regime would go forward.
In a non-urban area.
So let's say you've got a parcel of property that would be included in the new sewer service area under the county's new map. Let's back right up.
Someone in Plainsboro who's in a septic area wants to go into the village center.
Right. Okay.
But we don't have our septic analysis done.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question
for that person.
Well, let me ask you a question.
So you'd only consider...
Myra, why don't you let John...
I think this is something that's an interesting... Let's say you have some...
I don't want to get myself into any more...
You surrendered the microphone. Tom didn't take it from you, did he? Because this, I think, is something that the department grapples with. You say you've got a parcel of property that would be included in the county's map, in the sewer service area map, that a county is working on presently, and that meets with the department's approval, but it's presently not. For reasons utterly unrelated to that parcel, the county's plan is not done. There's something going on in municipality E 25 miles away, or township X has not adopted the appropriate ordinance. So the county's plan is not done. That person who has that parcel, under the present regulatory regime, that amendment cannot be considered by the department. Now, I guess what I'm trying to elicit from everyone, is that appropriate? is that the appropriate response for this department to take? It's like, well, Township Y has never adopted its ordinances and changed its zoning, therefore your parcel, which would be in the sewer service area, had the county's plan been adopted under the current regulatory regime, the department is precluded from even accepting it. Is that appropriate as a regulatory agency? I would say all the ordinances
to be submitted.
Well, that speaks to
put
a bifurcation.
Flexibility on that end, not on the separate.
Myra, we want to get you.
We want to get you on the microphone. So, but I think this is an important point.
I mean, we've been immersed in this for so long, and you know, Rebecca, listen to your case study, and I think there are going to be municipalities that for a whole host of reasons don't get their ordinances adopted in time. And right now the rules say that if town X in the northeasternmost part of the, you know, county doesn't have one of the six ordinances in place, then the whole plan can't be adopted. Well, maybe you should look at that.
Right, this isn't what it says. That's where there's a misconception.
Okay, can Mike, please, and name.
Now,
this is a good discussion, and we want to capture it. Is there another mic we can give to Mike? Okay. And then Tim wants to weigh in.
The presumption that some municipality that does not approve a required ordinance as per the regulation would hold up the adoption of the plan is an incorrect assumption. That township would not be able to be part of the plan until it did that, but the plan could be adopted without that township. I mean, that's clear in the regulations already. So the premise of what you're saying is incorrect, but the issue that how do we address an area that should be on sanitary sewer and presently is not while the plan is being developed is a good question, because that's really the devil advocate here. That's the almost the best situation versus looking at someone who is going to attempt to change from a septic area to a sewer area on his own volition and without all the arguments in place. So it kind of is a strange situation, because you bring up that one premise and that kind of makes the whole house of cards fall apart, because it doesn't exist. That would not be the case. It would not be a technical ordinance requirement by a municipality would not hold up approval of the WMP for the county itself. But it seems like I'm leaning more toward we've done an awful lot on sewer service area. I can't honestly say that we should adopt the sewer service area boundaries as in finality as a first phase, because we've seen too many issues come up as the process goes on, and these site-specific amendments will end up changing the sewer service area when we actually go to accept in completion as well. So I'm not sure what to call that area and those boundaries, if anything other than an interim accepted sewer service areas and allow applications to go ahead in that area. And then it isn't even an amendment, because we've accepted that sewer area that you're talking about. We all had plans to do it. We've accepted it as an interim area on the map, and that applicant could come, doesn't have to worry about an amendment, a site-specific amendment anymore, because we've accepted his area.
Okay. Tim?
So I guess on the first point, I want to thank Nick for keeping it real, so to speak. I mean, the idea that we're making policy and regulatory change on anecdotes or hypotheticals, John, that may or may not exist, which is the point earlier, that the department needs to provide a very clear, written down basis for what they're trying to do. Because, as you know from your legislative experience, we hear these horror stories all the time, and I'm surprised there aren't any nuns in the room right at the moment. Anyways, the second point, though, I guess goes back to, the driver for this idea of comprehensive planning and of having enforcement mechanisms in the rule. That when the rule was proposed, I don't remember the proportion, but it was a huge proportion of towns and counties that were out of compliance with the requirements. And so kudos to the counties who have been working on this diligently and doing good stuff. You know, I know Somerset, in particular, Middlesex, are always very, very progressive in what they're trying to do. So the idea of splitting it out and allowing, going back to the world of allowing site-specific amendments going forward, it'll become the status quo. That's how it'll get done again. It won't be any impetus to do it comprehensively. You've got to tackle this differently. You've got to figure out what really are the things that are holding it up. If it's an enforcement question, put the towns and the counties that are not complying and not diligently pursuing this in a position where they have some consequences to that. Goes back to Amy's comments earlier about, and the next point about, keeping the towns that don't comply out of the ability to include and admit the sewer service area.
Maybe that's a good segue to the last part of this.
Is there any? Good, okay. So I guess that deals with expiration and our consideration of the creation of a new mechanism to ensure compliance, to keep the WQMPs up to date, which seems to be the underlying theme that we're hearing from all of you, that it seems to be an issue of keeping those things current and a mechanism to do so. So we would like to hear some thoughts on all of that. Yes, Fletcher.
What is the?
I don't know if that's on.
Fletcher Clapp.
There we go. Okay.
What is the mechanism that is being suggested by the department? The state was not clear to me.
I don't think that we don't have a suggestion.
Suggestions of mechanism.
Again, as Marilyn has pointed out and John's pointed out, we're trying to. We haven't taken a position. We want to hear the opportunity. We want to take this opportunity to have a discussion with you and from your experience, hear some suggestions and thoughts.
Well, one thought is for the department to set objective dates, scheduled dates for completion of the plans, recognizing that all counties are not the same. Some are farther along. Obviously, the setting of a single date for all counties did not work, has not worked. I also noted that a majority of the remaining tasks for many of the counties are DEP responsibilities. So DEP should set a schedule for completion of their tasks, perhaps starting with the counties that are farthest along. Those that have not made the effort maybe should wait to the end. But if they set dates, set objectives for the counties, my opinion is DEP should set its own objectives as well.
Thank you. I think I saw a hand over here. Okay, Tim.
Again, I would support Fletcher's first point about what exactly is the amendment you're talking about and why. What is the question you're trying to answer or solve? I don't know, and I've not seen any analysis of what the department's enforcement has been. The record so far has been served with the executive order. You've simply kicked the can down the road. You've set the boundaries farther and farther out. The good stuff is you put money into doing it, but what is the problem that the current approach doesn't solve? And is it structural? Is it in the planning process itself? Or is it simply that there hasn't been enforcement? I think you need to define those issues before you start talking about changing the whole mechanism to ensure compliance. Because our perception is that part of it is simply, you haven't been strong enough in enforcement on the counties that have been recalcitrant. And I heard some issues this morning about the technical aspects of compliance with the nitrate dilution modeling. If that's indeed a real issue, and it's not simply that the towns are looking at the densities that are allowed once you put the nitrate dilution model, and they're comparing that to the zoning that's in place, which is our experience, particularly down the Delaware Bayshore, that it's a political issue. They don't want to downzone the land to be in compliance with what the pollution standard says. But the reality is the zoning had no cognizance of the environmental impacts when it was established in the first place. That's not a technical issue, that's a political issue. So if you're seeking a way around that because you don't want to face the political issue, that's different than a fundamental issue about complying with the Clean Water Act.
Other comments? Yes.
I
Bob Beasick, Somerset. This is actually a very complicated issue because implementing a continuous planning process is very much, as Fletcher said, a two-way street. It involves both the department as well as the counties. It's incumbent upon the department to keep its landscape study, its wetlands database, and other GIS environmental information up to date and readily accessible by the public and the counties. On the other hand, you know, we have an obligation, I think, at the county level to keep our park tax parcel maps up to date, our zoning, our preserved lands, all of which go into keeping the plan current. So I really think that we need more of a dialogue with the department on this issue, you know, to discuss an approach that is workable from both the county as well as the state perspective, given, you know, the amount of resources that it takes to do those, and at the same time, you know, the requirement under the law, you know, to keep plans current. So I just would welcome an opportunity to continue the dialogue with you.
Thank you. Yes, there in the back.
David Fisher, Cadenan and Holmes, and also representing New Jersey Builders Association. I think much of the discussion today, especially on the last two agenda items, has come about because of the way the program has evolved. And even though, you know, it's been quite some time now since the implementation of the rules and this requirement for updating all of, you know, the 21 wastewater management or county water quality management plans has begun, the difficulty, I think, for the regulated community is that it began with, as was said, the removal of things, as someone said earlier, and a parcel-by-parcel evaluation of properties relative to should they be sewered or should they be not. And most of it has been the removal of, not the addition of. And I think what's been absent, as we know, is that certain environmental data layers were used to guide this process, not a comprehensive land use planning process to say where should we grow, where do we need to grow to be a healthy economy. And it's been to the exclusion, I think, of an opportunity to protect the environment in ways that we haven't done before, because just eliminating development opportunities doesn't mean you end up with a better environmental outcome. There are ways to improve wastewater facilities in part by promoting the right types of development that will produce better outcomes in upgrading wastewater treatment facilities to help streams. And that's, I think, what's become the difficulty in, you know, dealing with this process. And now watching, you know, several counties that have done a tremendous amount of work and are reluctant to give that up, and I don't blame them. They've invested a lot of time and effort in evaluating properties throughout their counties, working with towns and the department, and they want to come out with a plan that at least represents their work effort to, you know, deal with wastewater issues going forward. Maybe the department has to think about a tentative or interim approval of those plans that have advanced that far, but relook at the rest of the state in a different way. Because if this administration is going to develop a new strategic plan for how it examines land use opportunities going forward, then maybe for other parts of the state that have not done as much work as Morris and Somerset and Middlesex, there needs to be a better approach which establishes, you know, land use and development and economic targets and environmental protection targets so that it can measure how it develops a plan and achieves those goals going forward. So I know that's not necessarily an answer to the agenda questions, but, you know, I think by virtue of the fact that we almost have to consider site-specific amendments, we've trapped ourselves because we're ending up in a process now where we have a kind of a disjointed product where certain counties have come quite a long way in working with the department, but many others have done very little. And as Bob said, this is a continuous planning process, so coming up with a hard and fast expiration date, it may be a very difficult thing.
Here. and then Jennifer. Oh, I'm sorry, back there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. I just want to add on to what Dave said. One of the things that the department needs to consider is the consequences of the uncertainty that's been created as a result of the fact that right now people could take the position that all sewer service areas are gone, and one could take that to the extreme and say, therefore, no, the department cannot issue any land use permits because they're required to be in compliance with sewer service areas. And I don't think that's a consequence that anybody wants to see. We've already heard an example where the state almost lost out on a $4 million federal grant as a result of that. So I think it's important that the uncertainty be solved quickly. I don't think just kicking the can down the road necessarily does that, but I do think for those counties that have gone down the path and done what they were supposed to do, getting those plans approved as quickly as possible, even partially, will help solve the problem. For counties that have not picked up the slack and done what they were supposed to do, I'd suggest the department look at the model that's in the Solid Waste Management Act, where for those counties that have not adopted a solid waste plan, the department can step in and adopt a plan or impose a plan upon them. And that may be draconian in certain instances, but it is better than having no plan or not having any sewer service area, and that could be based upon the state plan, it could be based upon department data. It has to be coupled with a program for site-specific amendments, but it does get a plan adopted and in place and end the uncertainty. And, you know, and clearly in areas of the state where in the Pinelands and the Highlands where regional agencies have done what they were supposed to do, you can just adopt those plans as the plans for those areas. In other counties that have done nothing, the state should impose a plan. And I think that's the solution and gets us beyond this uncertainty.
Thank you. Ms. Myra?
Myra Becker, Middlesex County. I would say that I think anecdotally it seems like counties, individuals, kids don't respond well to punishment, you know. But putting that aside, I don't know why I added kids to the mix. You know, I was thinking that what could get counties to step up to really forging ahead with their plans. And, you know, I think that if, I wish that there were people here from the Office of Advocacy, is that Planning Advocacy, because I think incentivizing and making it so that the governor's strategic plan, which is gonna have growth centers in there, should be linked to the county WIMPs. And that if you have an adopted county WIMP, link that to the strategic plan, and like plan endorsement. And I know there's not much money out there, but maybe the, you know, the, at the state level, there could be some stealth economic initiatives that really rewarded those counties that did. Because basically, the sewer service areas are the growth areas of the county. So I strongly recommend getting the planners together with you guys and Liz, you know, Liz Semple's people, and try to see, and if it's not in there, make sure that there's a really strong link between the strategic plan and wastewater management plans. Because incentives, not draconian moratoriums on wastewater in the future, I think is going to be what causes counties to move forward on this stuff.
Myra, without, you know, with the, obviously this is still off into the future. I think, you know, sometimes I jot down little phrases and notes in that, and the county planners have really been terrific in following through and trying to advance this process. And I think we've always been of the same mind of the need for a comprehensive environmental view of the future, and that one that could accommodate, you know, a strategic economic growth. And the, I forget which of my fellow planners mentioned the word carrying capacity. And that's something that, you know, has always been the cornerstone of good planning going forward. And, you know, I think that that's, you know, as we're moving forward, and it may be one of the little problems we've had with water quality management planning is is that there is to be forward-looking planning that recognizes, you know, the existing infrastructure carrying capacity, where is there still room for growth? Mm-hmm. So I know I'm a little bit off topic here, but I think that you could be assured, and I don't want anybody to go away, that the message is not, and the goal is not still the same, for environmental protection and conservation, mindful of the need for continuing economic growth, but economic growth not overshadowing the need for environmental protection.
Jennifer?
Great. Jennifer Coffey from Stony Brook Millstone Watershed. And I just want to pick up and thank you for saying that, Marilyn, that it is about environmental protection. Economics is incredibly important. But just to respond to some of the conversation that's happened here, these are the water quality management plan rules. And these rules do talk about removing certain land from sewer service because those sewers lend to very intense development. And so the water quality management plan rules are about removing the ability to destroy certain areas of land either by paving over or filling in those lands, those environmentally sensitive lands that are very critical to New Jersey's water quality. And when you look at the state of our streams, with the exception of the Highlands and the Pinelands, there is a vast majority of New Jersey streams that violate water quality standards for nitrogen, phosphorus, fecal coliform, E. coli, dissolved oxygen, which leads to eutrophication, you know, the algae-ridden ponds, fish issues. So when you talk about carrying capacity, we're at or beyond in many, many instances in New Jersey. And so I don't know of any environmental group, but I'll only speak for my own, that is not interested in having a conversation about growing in the right places and protecting those places that are important to our water quality, which we already have issues with here in New Jersey. And those right places, in many instances, just for my organization, are those areas that have already been developed. It's no secret that there are a number of projections from a number of agencies that say New Jersey is going to reach build-out first. We're going to be the first state. So we're trending towards almost exclusive redevelopment. And until we start having a real conversation, and there's lots of room to talk about how redevelopment can help improve our water quality, can help improve water infiltration, can lend to a better living situation for us in New Jersey. But to continue to talk about intensive building and development in areas that we need to protect for our drinking water, for our recreation areas, is not responsible planning. So,
thank you, Jennifer. Other thoughts?
Pete Kasselbeck, New Jersey Future. We had submitted some recommendations to the process already, and if anyone needs another copy of that, we're happy to get those. I mean, for us, there's really sort of one bottom line, which is getting the plans done. I think we all recognize how important they are and what they do for all the different sectors that are represented here, and they're not getting done. So if the phasing process helps us get them done faster, then that's great. But it shouldn't be a replacement for a comprehensive plan at the end of the day. So, you know, as I'm listening to everyone talking, I'm not really hearing that there's a good solution for how we get these plans done. You know, if there are, in fact, and maybe it's something that DEP and the county folks have to sit down and say, you know, what in specifically are the problems with each party doing the part they're supposed to do in order to get this done in a timely way? If the phasing is meant to address some of those issues, that's great. Let's do it. But ultimately, I don't think we should be looking at rule changes or a process that say we shouldn't be doing this or this can go on indefinitely. And that's where we are right now. We're in an indefinite process. So it has to end. You know, I don't know whether the state, I'm pretty sure the state doesn't have the resources, but whether or not it does have the resources or can find the resources to help push these plans through. You know, not a big fan of the stick, but it seems like the idea of being able to withdraw sewer service areas hasn't been one. I'd like to know why not. You know, if it maybe it should become a stick. Maybe we should be doing that.
If there's another stick that says the state's going to step in and just make this happen, we're going to go in and we're going to draw the lines and we're going to do it for the counties that haven't been able to do it, I'm okay with that. But we've got to move forward and get it done. Specifically on the sewer service areas, I think one way of addressing those, drawing those lines also, is looking at future sewer service areas and accounting for those in the mapping process. Recognizing that the sewer service areas right now are being drawn exclusively based on, not exclusively, but primarily based on where there's capacity currently, and it doesn't recognize that there may be areas that are not environmentally constrained that would be fine places to grow if, in fact, we had the capacity at some point in the future. Identifying those areas in the during the process will actually make this site-specific amendments or the ability to be more agile with the growth areas, I think, happen more effectively as we go forward. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ann Brady from PlantSmart New Jersey, and I just wanted to say that PlantSmart New Jersey, when these rules first came out, we had made the recommendation that you throw them out and start over again because we do not believe that the rules really protect water quality. So I wanted to suggest, as someone earlier had suggested, that you do work with the Office for Planning Advocacy in moving forward with this. And we do believe in comprehensive planning and balancing a number of different goals and opportunities for the state.
There was a hand back there.
Hi, Mike Pissarro. I represent the New Jersey Environmental Lobby. I just wanted to key off something Jennifer said. We are moving forward to full build out. And one of the problems we've had in the past is no one has updated these plans and things have just run amok. So we're still allowing things to run amok. And as the speaker said before, you know, wasn't a fan for the stick because counties and towns and kids don't listen. But I find out with my kids, if I tell them I have the stick and I'm going to use it but I never use it, they ignore me. When I finally use the stick, when I finally withdraw the sewer service areas and don't allow those permits to go forward, my kids wake up when I turn off the TV. And if we don't start doing those things, if DEP doesn't actually enforce, we're never going to move forwards. And we're then going to have to clean up the mess, clean up those streams in a much more inefficient process than if we planned and moved forward in protecting them. So I think we need to move this thing forwards. I think we need to pull out the stick and actually use it a couple times. And then maybe we will get this thing rolling.
Thank you. Was there another hand? No. Anyone else?
Yes.
Fletcher?
Fletcher, maybe just one more thought. Certainly some of the counties have withdrawn from participation in the development WIMPs. Perhaps they don't have the ability. Maybe not. Maybe they have the will, but not the ability to do it. These regulations are extremely complex. Those counties that have worked with it understand that fully. And perhaps they need more help than they've been getting, or perhaps DEP needs to step in and impose a plan based on your professional judgment.
Jim?
One of the things that you could do to get these plans done more quickly is reevaluate how DEP staff is spending their time. I have seen people spending hours and hours of time trying to decide whether a line on a particular lot in a particular town in a particular county should have its the sewer service area line drawn here or 3 feet to the left. I'm not kidding you. So if you took those people and instead of spending in one municipality weeks and weeks and weeks of their time looking at mapping to decide whether a line should be in a particular place on a lot, just include the whole lot and deal with other issues that would restrict development later. This is supposed to be a broad planning document. You don't need to spend 40 hours of time of your staff time working on a few lots in one municipality. That's what's happening now. So I really believe you could use the same total staff effort redirected in a much more efficient way to help get these things done.
Thank you, Jim.
Are you accepting any new topics?
I, Why don't we wrap up on this one first?
What about the Yankees or Mets?
Heather?
Phillies.
Phillies. I just want to echo what others have already been saying. We need to get these done. We need it done in a comprehensive way. And I think DP's efforts should be focused on helping the counties get these plans in place and not on changing the rules at this time. And that's it.
Okay. Anything else? Any kind of new thought on this?
One thing keeps on coming. I mean, I'm just tossing this one out there. One of the suggestions that keeps on coming along in order to force the issue is having DEP step in and put those counties that aren't participating and aren't moving ahead and take over that responsibility. Our water quality management planning rules don't allow that. Certainly we have county planners that are sitting here with counties that are advancing along with cooperative, Middlesex, Morris, Somerset, Ocean, that there are other counties that are not as engaged. My concern is not just for the development of new properties, but there's also a lot of places out there in sewer service areas that are eligible for sewer service that don't meet our criteria. So, I mean, it's a sword that's swinging both ways. What about if we change the rules and said for those counties, not just withdrawing, because now you still have the conundrum. But what about fourth topic of DEP coming in and actually
doing it?
Good idea. Tim?
I guess it depends on what you mean by doing it, right? I mean, the department struggles right now to provide technical assistance on their own information, as Bob said earlier. Keeping that up to date to provide, transferring that information so it can be used at the other level. So, I think the rules do. I do believe in the stick, and I think if you objectively look at the history of New Jersey, the stick works very well because it really is about economic development on one side of this, and either providing the incentive to do it in the right place or prohibiting it from being done in the wrong place. So, I think Fletcher sort of mentioned this list of tasks that were outstanding by the department. And I don't know what those are, but it'd be interesting to see, whether or not getting those done and being more efficient in terms of the technical assistance. And perhaps, moving not so much to doing it completely, but to negotiating a little bit less, to kind of taking some firmer stance. My experience as a department staff spends a huge amount of time both with individual permit applicants and governmental bodies negotiating around things that they probably have a clearer standard, clearer objective standard. So perhaps being more forceful and pushing the process forward using the tools that are in the rules, which I think are fairly significant about withdrawals, about not issuing permits, and seeing how that goes. Because I don't know that you have the capacity to step in and assume the role that the counties are already struggling with, taking on their new.
Well, our ultimate stick is treatment works approval.
Right, and so as I remember the rule allows for the withdrawal by the department of sewer service areas for non-compliance with the planning aspects of the rule. Using your history to date, the last 2.5 years of this administration has been simply extend the deadlines. And the right folks have stepped up and done their work with their due diligence, and others have not.
It's too bad you weren't on mic for the last couple of minutes. I'm just joking.
Marilyn, to respond to your question, I think that if the department is going to head down that path, it's going to be a disaster because, quite frankly, I don't think that DP has the local knowledge of planning issues, of working with the development community in their respective counties, that the counties had themselves. I think I would rather see an approach where additional resources are made available to those counties to encourage them to take on this task, but also when you do that, empower the counties to do the job quicker. I think Mr. Cosgrove hit the nail on the head in terms of what's been the problem with this minutia regarding individual property issues. We had suggested months and months and months ago that more of that kind of deliberations be given to the counties. We could have completed this job a year ago if that would have happened. Again, I think incentives and also tying the WIMPs into the strategic plan, I think, is critical because I think all counties are sensitive to what's happening in terms of economic growth and the rateable base, and that's a big incentive in itself.
Thank you. Anything else? Oh, yes.
Sandy Batty from ANJAC. A couple of thoughts. Tying it into the strategic plan, at least as I've been seeing it developed, I'm not sure that that's going to have environmental protection goals in the strategic plan. Obviously haven't seen the draft plan, so I don't know what it does have. But if the goal here is to protect water resources, unless it's more than just tied in, but instead become the water protection elements of the water quality management plans are in the strategic plan, you could end up actually undermining the water protection.
As I said, the state strategic plan has not been vetted, it's not this and that, but I can assure you that environmental protection and conservation, it will be a cornerstone of that, because you cannot have economic growth without environmental protection. Yeah, so I just want to assure you.
Okay. And the other thought I had as I was listening to this, and the amount of, like Mr. Cosgrove's point about the lines, it brought back the whole discussion of the site-specific amendments. And I think to allow to open up that door of more site-specific amendments is going to consume a whole lot more of DEP's time that should be going instead to the data corrections and the aid to the counties rather than to individual site-specific. If the water quality management plans are supposed to be comprehensive, and as soon as you get the site-specific amendments, you're going away from that goal.
Thank you, Sandy. Anyone else? Okay. Any other kind of overall comments? We have a little bit of time before we go. Anything? Yes, Ledger?
One thing we didn't talk about today is some of the constraints. An available water supply is identified in the plan as a constraint. I think it is the state's obligation to address that issue, not the counties. I don't think the counties have the wherewithal to address water supply throughout the state. It is not a county problem, it's a state problem. And hopefully the state water supply master plan will be released sometime in the near future, which should help address available water supply in the wastewater management plans. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Gentlemen, this is Nick DeFerro, Middlesex County Planning. The gentleman just brought up an excellent point. From our point of view at this point, we are waiting for the statewide water supply plan before we address that issue. And this brings up something that's been in my mind as we've been talking about this. It would be, well, okay. First of all, I found the nitrate dilution model review by the Science Advisory Board a very unsatisfying breakfast. I did not see what I had hoped to be in there that would a really definitive idea of what should happen with the nitrate dilution model. I saw very, very safe comments that literally did not change DEP's approach toward the model. Why I bring this up is because I think in that area, in the area of alternate design and other solutions to nitrate removal prior to introduction into the groundwater. Those are areas where DEP could provide research that would prompt readoption and updating of the wastewater management plans. If we can have confirmed, validated research that says these things can be done and these things cannot be done, it's a lot easier for us to get those kind of the implications of that addressed at the municipal level. And that there where I see a definite role for DEP to actually come back and look at that. I think honestly, and we've said this in many of our county meetings with DEP, that why aren't we talking about alternative systems? Why aren't we really seriously looking at the flow generations that we're talking about? And why are they higher in septic areas than flow that's going to be going to sanitary treatment plants, other than the fact that there's a traditional number that's being used that's accepted but not really validated under today's water-saving techniques, land use changes? Warehousing is not what it was in the past, where there were 40 people in a warehouse, now there's maybe 5 because of the operations of those things. So to use the old numbers per square foot on warehousing operations absolutely shoots the flow generation through the roof. And those are the issues that everyone at the county level and the municipal level could really take and work with to really fine-tune the plans every 3 or 4 years or 5 years.
Thank you. Jim, if we can, you know, this is great and helpful, but I think what we're looking for is any kind of concluding comments, thoughts specifically to these three items, correct?
Right.
Underpass,
so you're ready to do so.
Okay. Marilyn or Tom? Oh, I'm sorry.
I think this has been a very good discussion, but when one of the things I'm hearing is that there's a lot of technical issues here as far as who's responsible for making which decision, how detailed, how much time is being spent on making this decision. And I'm wondering if that's something that DEP and the counties would be able to examine and see if there's a way simply of making those lines a little bit easier from a management standpoint, that maybe there are some decisions that the counties can be making on their own and that don't require the state to be involved. And there's other places where the state could be making a much quicker definitive line or decision. And we know it won't be perfect, but right now we've got nothing. So probably pretty darn good is going to be better than nothing. So if we can establish a process that speeds this up and moves the decision making along, because it sounds like there's lots of little decisions that get made in the process, if we can move that along a little bit quicker, we'll get very good, if not perfect, and then we can go from there.
Eileen?
Thank you. Just a thought in conclusion. When Pete was saying there, right now we've got nothing. We've got Middlesex, I think, ready to go. And nothing breeds success like success. Nothing shows a program can work better than showing it is working somewhere. And there are other counties close behind. Get those adopted. We're in the Highlands by the end of this year. We'll have a slew of towns ready. Get them adopted. We found this in the Highlands with our plan, which was so difficult to get started. But as soon as we started showing success, it breeds success. Nothing can fail us better than talking about failure. So I say let's move the plans that are ready to go, because that tells the rest of the counties, hey, there's 21 of you out there. These ones are adopted. These ones are moving ahead. The towns will start clamoring then, because when they see that these places that are doing the job they're doing comprehensive planning, they're getting the results. Nothing beats success like success.
Okay. Anything else? Jimmy,
always ready.
Marilyn or John or Tom?
Fletcher, you want me to go?
One final thing? Okay.
You want me to make a final thing?
Sure.
Well, thank you all very much. Thank the department for the opportunity to comment. I think it's been a valuable discussion. I think the bottom line is we need to find a way to move it ahead and get it done. And we need to work together to accomplish that.
Great.
Did you have anything?
I just want to thank everyone for their participation today. John, Tom. Liz,
Anything else? Any questions that you all had that weren't addressed that you wanted to ask?
Nope.
No? Good. All right. Well, thank you
very
much.
All.